Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris.
All right. Well, it's Missouri week. So this is a personal one for all of us after last year and the way they acted, because they acted like it was a Super Bowl last year when they played UK. And I mean, we all remember the scenes on the sidelines with Calvin Joseph going over there and all their players standing around and coaches. Pointing at him, laughing at him, not helping him up, getting in his face, all that crap that we that now has made this into somewhat of a rivalry game.
Right.
Well,
rivalry game, we won the last five of the six.
It's true. It's very, very true. But at the same time, I mean, these guys don't seem to like each other at all, and the coaches don't like each other.
Yeah.
Friends. Mark Stoops and Drinkwitz actually said that this week. They've become good friends.
Yeah, but Tino and Kyle Perry say they're friends too, but do we believe it?
Right.
I don't believe maybe.
They just think they're just big competitors.
Well, maybe so. But anyway, Chris, stop trying to dampen down the rivalry, okay? We don't like them, and we're not going to like them, okay? We're not going to make – don't make us like them.
Sorry.
So anyways, before we get going on the Missouri game, we need to do our reaction for this week. Any kind of overreaction for this team?
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole game's overreaction for you?
I don't mean to sound like a wet blanket. I'm just a realist. And, like, you know, the UK fan in me wants to be, like, ecstatic about the way they played and the way the offense looked.
But we've watched enough UK football to know better, right?
No, it's not that. It's just Louisiana Monroe.
Yes.
When it beats. Bottom five worst teams in all of college football.
Agreed. Yes.
So
defensively, yes. Defensively especially. Agreed.
Kentucky looked great. They executed really well. Will Levis came back seamlessly from that first interception.
And had
an unbelievable game. He was the highest rated quarterback in all of college football, according to Pro Football Focus. Fourth highest. Kentucky took care of business against an inferior opponent the way they really haven't against non-conference.
It's another encouraging
thing. But again, against one of the worst teams in all of college football.
Well, considering that you made a stat last time, we've only, beat a team over 31 once in this entire
yes.
career. So that, I guess, that's a little bit promising. No, I agree with you. It's a bit of overreaction. People were really freaking out about last week and it looked good and everything like that. I do think the offense looked awesome. I thought the play calls were significantly better. There's my initial reaction is one, it doesn't seem like Levis is very confident on a short ball. It looks like he has a cannon. That's going to be really – he's had some of those balls were this like rocketed to his receivers.
He was – hold on, let me find the stat. Keep talking.
With it, on top of that, I did, like I said, I thought defensively they looked pretty solid. The running game was on par. I mean, it could have been better. The offensive line was pretty good. But again, I mean, I'm with Chris on this one, and this is historically. I mean, they averaged their defense gave up 465 yards a game last year, right? 42 points a game too.
Right.
On top of that, and playing the teams they play. Just to put that out there, just remember that most of these teams played their conference teams. They didn't play these Power Five teams last year. So just to put that in perspective a little bit. Now, do I think they're significantly better coached this year? Yeah, UNL Monroe is better coached this year, but outside of that, they're still the same team.
I can't find the stat I saw earlier this week where they were talking about his stats on throws. 15 yards and shorter, but it was not good at all.
Now,
it looks way more confident.
Go ahead, Mike. What's your reaction to the game? What you felt like?
I think Will Levis was one of the best deep balls I've seen in a long time at Kentucky. I think he struggles with that under the short passes. Sorry, my dogs just decided to come fight right in front of me. he throws in way too hard.
Which is okay. I mean, but he'll get that touchdown. I feel like a lot of nerves too.
Do it, or he's got to figure out a better touch.
He was throwing way too fast and behind his receivers on crossing routes. Those are the only ones he was struggling with, is it was always behind the receiver just a little bit. But I mean, it goes to show you with that Josh Ali pick, or where it, you know, bounced off his hands in the first throw, that it can make all the difference. And in the SEC, it will.
Improves accuracy,
and he'll calm down a little.
Yes, of course. But I will tell you this: this is the first time a player's went over 300 plus, and it's how sickening this is. It's 2016. Was November 2016 against New Mexico State. Steven Johnson was the last one to go over 300 yards passing. I can't even imagine the last time we've had two wide receivers go over 100 yards.
Now let me ask, we go over 300 yards this week, are you going to be really excited, even like more excited?
You know, this week, I think it's just, I think we're facing just a bad of a defense. I mean, they're talking about we're not going to get too much into Missouri. We're going to cap off the game this week, but not to get too much into our pregame show here, but they gave up 301 yards to Central Michigan last week. I'm just saying. So that's promising for us, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a better opponent, but I will say the one thing that I've saw, this is the one thing that we haven't seen in Kentucky, especially offensively, in a very long time, and that is, what Liam Cohen said about the Josh Ali touchdown. Did either one of you all see it?
No.
No.
He said the deep post touchdown to Josh Ali against ULM wasn't a part of the playbook before the game. He said the coaches upstairs noticed the opening on a previous drive and wrote the play spontaneously. Excuse me. So
that's the kind of shit you like to hear.
Yes.
Football guy.
Being able to identify something in game and attack it.
When the previous
adjust, my God.
Yes.
Middle.
And that's the thing. We've always made good adjustments defensively, but we've seemed to have never made adjustments offensively. It seems like I wouldn't even say it's even Eddie Grant. It's this the past since Stoops has been there, it's been really, I mean, don't get me wrong, what he did with Limbo was great and all that stuff, but usually it seemed like the game plan we went in with was the game plan we used.
Are you saying that running Wildcat three times in two drives from 20 yards away is not a good play call?
Well, no, that's Louisville. That, I mean, they run on second and longs like all the time.
Yeah, Louisville looked like an Eddie Grant offense. I told you that during the game.
Well, just
they looked like an Eddie Grant offense.
Yeah,
I felt bad for them.
They've led the league last year. And not just college, but also NFL. They led the league in running on second and longs. that was a stat I heard this week and couldn't believe it. But I'm not really getting too much into Louisville. But that was when I saw that quote from Cohen this week. I was thinking, man, finally we have a guy that can actually adjust in game.
Yeah.
And obviously we see the additions. And like I said, I mean we've upgraded majorly at the wide receiver spot. You know, Wandale Robinson was awesome last week. Josh Ali had a solid year last year. Me and Mike were talking about this on the way home. I think Josh Ali is a really good route runner.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think Wandale Robinson is a freak athlete and someone's going to play in the NFL. But Josh Ali might work himself in the NFL because he runs really good routes. So
yeah, he gets himself open. He's got just enough speed. He's got really good hands, as long as the ball's there. Wandale Robinson is like, he's the wide receiver
taking off in the NFL.
Like the Tyreek Hills, who are built like
yes.
a running back. They can take hits like a running back. They can get, you know, yards after the catch. They can get yards after contact and still burn everybody and have great hands.
Yes, I agree. And that's becoming more and more the wide receiver. People want like really fast, short guys that can get downfield.
That slant that he took
where he got popped on like the 3 yard line and still went in.
Yeah, that was in front of me and Mike's season tickets.
Yeah.
But no, like I said, to kind of cap off the ULM game, I mean, it's what you expect. It's a warm up game.
I was very disheartened that we didn't get any turnovers.
Yeah.
I'm frustrating for real.
Yeah. Well, I think, I'll tell you one last thing about the game we also seen was Epps is going to be that, looks like he's going to be the third wide receiver. So,
yeah, great catch.
Yeah. he had a good game. I mean, we've been waiting that for Epps for a while now, and he had a good game. Kind of a name to forget about.
I will say two things, and then I'll be done with the ULM game. I am concerned with C-Rod and the outside zone run game.
Concerned
with how many receivers for ULM were open in our defensive secondary.
Well, kind of the problem there was really the I hate to say this, but because we did have pressure on him, but it was kind of not a lot of pressure. I mean,
Patrick, you got six sacks and how many tackles for loss? Like 14, 16.
I know, but the thing is, man, is you're playing ULM and you're still getting wide open my receivers and stuff. And I thought Pascal was the best player in the game defensively. I thought he did a lot of good things. Great. I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of a way to describe why they were so open. And maybe it's just.
But it wasn't Kentucky's front seven. Kentucky's front seven played excellent.
Sure.
It was the secondary.
Well, yeah, there was some miscommunication in the secondary.
There was. Well, there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a lot of times where personnel wasn't – I don't know if you saw this during the game, Chris, from TV, but there's a lot of times where personnel wasn't on the field. They were running off as they were hiking it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of confusion. What do you expect from the first game? So, I mean, that's not something I've never seen before. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a, you would think that would be the group that's been kind of together, you know?
Yeah. But they're pretty decimated with, you know, those arrests and those guys having to sit out and injuries.
And they did lose two big guys. I mean, Kelvin Joseph obviously didn't play the last few games, but they did lose Eccles, you know, and that's a pretty big loss. And he got drafted. I mean, you know, so I don't know, man. I don't have really anything to say for it, but I will say that I feel like if there was problems there with Stoops, that'll be adjusted or they'll be fixed, really.
Well, I don't think it's it's obviously a combination of Stoops and Brad White and how intelligent they are scheming, but it's something that makes me like not so concerned about the defense is the defense has excellent leadership at all three levels. So on the defensive line, they have Marquand McCall. And in the secondary, they have Yusuf Corker. Those guys are all going to make sure that their respective position groups are squared away.
Oh, dude, Pascal's the leader of defense line. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. Pascal was a leader.
True, I mean, I'm just yeah, Pascal that's what I meant to say. Pascal,
but Jordan Wright, you brought this point too. Jordan Wright looked really good. He's due for a very, very good season.
He looks great in coverage and rushing. Like he's so rangy and strong and athletic that those long arms, man, you saw him. He get by tackles, get by tight ends, and then in coverage using his length, man.
Well, I think. We even said during the game, I said, man, Jordan Wright looks really good today. But I thought Pascal looked the best, and that's encouraging for our defensive line. So.
Well, Pascal was doing a good job. I know we keep harping on this game. Pascal was doing a good job
against a shitty team.
Redirecting the run game back inside.
Set the edge. And make sure
the running back went right back to the strength of Kentucky's defense.
Well, he's doing what defensive linemen supposed to do. That's take up blockers and make holes for the linebackers, which linebackers took advantage of it. So, but just to cap off this game, shitty team, good win. We covered. That's what you want.
Yep.
So, but on to our game against Missouri. So, are we going to sell out finally, or is it going to be because they're still saying there's still tickets left?
I think it's going to be a sellout.
I do too. It's all said and done. I hope so. But it's also hero weekend for everyone to get in the game and everything. So I hope there's a sellout.
Mike, what do you think?
I think it'll be a sellout.
I said last week I thought it'd be 70%, and I was right. I think this week it would be sold out.
I'll be really surprised because everybody was upset about that Missouri game last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the first SEC game of the year, and then usually it's like I said, in a normal year this would be sold out, no question. A 7:30 game at that. So, but time will tell. But what are we looking at with Missouri? It looks like they did a really good job running the ball their first week. Obviously, they did a really good job running the ball against us last year. They have a very good quarterback. They coach very well. It looks like their defense needs a little help, but offensively, they're pretty good. It seems like on paper.
I actually think their offense didn't play very well last week.
I mean, the running back went for 237 yards. So
yeah, but they couldn't throw the ball, and Bazelak did not have a good game at all.
They have a defense.
Their defensive backs, they can be bullied. The strength of their defense and their team really are their line.
Like they were rushing
really well, and that's another thing that concerns me. This game is Kentucky absolutely has to establish a run game, and yes, the offensive line has to be the star of the show, because Missouri's going to
buy dudes,
and they're going to see if Kentucky can pass block and defend Will Levis. They're going to put him in pressure situations, and he did pretty well in pressure situations against ULM, but is that going to be the same against Missouri? He hasn't seen an SEC defense come at him like that. So I'm sure they're wanting to put him in that position and try to make quick throws, where we've already said he was inaccurate with quick, short throws, and that's how you're going to have to beat an aggressive defense like that. So that'll be interesting to see how he handles that, and how the offensive line, tight ends, and running backs handle that.
Yeah, we need more on the tight ends this week. But I will say that he did move in the pocket when he needed to. He got out of the pocket, ran when he needed to. But obviously that's not his game. But yeah, he's going to need to do all those quick passes, especially when they're blitzing on us. And it's like I said, this is a totally different defense than he's ever seen. I don't know if he's even seen that at Penn State. It's SEC defense is obviously superior to Big Ten defenses. Sorry.
The speed and athleticism are totally different.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a different kind of football. I mean, it just is. And that's why the SEC wins a lot of championships, because of that. There's only a few teams that compare to them, Clemson, stuff like that, but nothing that he's seen at Penn State. So it's going to be different. But I think with it being at home and stuff, maybe he'll be able to feed off that, you know. And that's what you hope for. That's why you want a big crowd. But I definitely agree with you. They got established a run this week. They got to be able to get long, sustained drives.
Yep.
And give the defense a little bit of break. What were you saying, Mike?
What's that?
What were you saying?
Anything.
Oh, I thought I heard you say something. So, sorry.
So, if Missouri wins, what happened?
If Missouri wins, what happened?
Yeah.
We didn't establish a passing game. We obviously, yeah. I think it's going to be more so we got getting the ball downfield. They're going to try to take away our playmakers. So people like Josh Ali's going to have to step up. Epps going to step up, because we're going to try to shut down Wandale Robinson. And that'd be the first thing they would do. We would get no pressure on the ball, and we couldn't stop the run. That's what happened last year. Couldn't stop the run.
I think they would get pressure on us as one of the ways. I think if you get Levis time, he'll pick them apart. But I think if we lose this game, they're going to get about 8 sacks.
If their running back goes for over 200 yards again and they're having long, sustained drives, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
If their running back goes over 200 yards, I'd be shocked, because our run defense is pretty fucking nasty.
Well, they did it last year. I mean, the guy that Roundtree did it last year on us. Their quarterback didn't do nothing on us last year.
Running back's name is Tyler Beatty.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you say, Chris?
Tyler Beatty is their running back this year.
And he went for, I think, 205 against.
Yep. 25 carries. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, Bazelak. I mean, he did throw for 257 and 2 touchdowns. But against us last year, he didn't even throw for a touchdown. I think he threw for 100 and 150+. Not a very good game by him last year. But last year, Kentucky was on the field for, I think they had the ball. They had the ball 46 minutes last year, and was only able to give up 20 points. That's why what did you say, Mike?
That shows you how bad Missouri really was. You had the ball that long, you only put up, what, 14 points?
Well, I agree with you. I think that's ignored when you talk about the game of last year. And honestly, Kentucky was in the game all the way until the fourth quarter, really.
Yeah, they should have buried, honestly.
I think it was like a 10-point game until the fourth quarter last year with how bad our offense was. That just tells you how good defensively they were last year, and they still are. But this year, they cannot do that again.
I think
if Missouri wins, it's because they turned Kentucky over and or forced a lot of three and outs through their pressure and controlled the clock.
That's how they won last year. They just controlled the clock.
Yeah.
And Kentucky was now with that said, I'm pretty sure that was the game that Bohanna went out and then it forced McCall to come in there and play a lot of minutes that he wasn't used to at that point last year. Then obviously we know all the stuff going on with Kentucky's coach and Schlarman. You know, obviously he was very, very sick at that point.
Yep.
We knew all that, the emotional toll. They didn't play offensively. They played horrible. But defensively, they didn't play a horrible game. Obviously, like I said, they only gave it 20 points. I mean, team has a ball 46 minutes, man. That's a long time on the field. That's all I'm going to tell you. I think it's 43 minutes, whatever. It's 40 minutes plus on the field for your defense. That already has injuries up front at that point. With COVID people being out, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So, and it obviously hurt them going on down the road. But go on, Chris. I'm sorry.
If Kentucky wins, what happened?
They were able to establish a run game, like you said. They were able to get some turnovers. Go ahead, Mike.
The way we win is how they beat us last year. Just dominate time of possession. Except I think we'll put up more than 20 points.
All Kentucky needs to do is play their game. Play what they're used to doing. Win in the trenches. They're big up front on the offensive line. Push them around. Feed off this crowd. And defense needs to get some turnovers. You know, get some short fields for them.
We stop Beatty, we stop Missouri. I don't think Blaslitz whoever can do shit against us.
Bazelak. Close, though.
I'm learning losers' names. I'm sorry.
I think the key to the game is Kentucky establishing a run early. C-Rod needs to
this week. He needs to be
more patient in finding his cutbacks, because that's the big thing with outside zone running games is cutbacks are usually open. So he needs to be more patient and hit the hole a little bit faster, because if they establish a run early, they can lean on that play action game. And Kentucky was at in play action. Will Levis was 10 of 13 for 202 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Now, Chris, let me ask you this, because I haven't watched the replay or anything. I know it was late in the game, but Michael Jennings in there, it looked like he was very patient as a runner. Was he? It looked like he was just very back there.
He looks like what NFL.
He looked like he waited for his blocks to develop and then hit the hole.
He's so quick. He's shifty. He's got strong legs. Again, he's so versatile. Really showed when you were watching the game is you wanted to see him more, because he, you know, you can move around all over the field. He can run routes.
He's a patient runner.
Like, he's got a really promising future. He looked really good running back.
Zone read.
Yeah. I'm also excited to see Jutaan McClain whenever he comes back.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to be. Did Rodriguez even play last year in the Missouri game? So he missed like what, 3 or 4 games?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
not actually.
Did he play in the game last year?
Because
he's a running back that really wears down a defense too. Because like as you can tell against obviously a shitty opponents, even against SC opponents, he's hard to bring down. And that's a big deal for us.
I worry about him with this outside zone scheme. Because it has been talked about a lot, but it's been talked about a decent amount about how kind of lost he looked. Well,
offense is very important to establish the run, because he does a lot of stuff under the center, a lot of play action, a lot of moving parts. And if you can't get a running game, his offense isn't the same.
Yeah, he's great out of the pistol where he can diagnose the play as it's going. You know, he has a second and a half to diagnose where the blocks are going and that kind of stuff and just hit the hole and go north-south. But this outside zone, it's more be patient, let the blocks, materialize and then either cut back or hit the hole hard.
Like I said,
he was just kinda, he looked lost. Like, have you guys watched the replay at all, Mike? I know you said you
have. I have not watched the replay yet.
No, but it's something that, but it's a different offense. But like I said, this offense has to have a running game.
It's just not a strength of his to do this outside zone yet. He could grow into it, but it's just not built for running backs like him.
But if he can build into it, it'll be so much for his career, because I think he has great potential as an NFL player.
Well, him catching.
Yeah.
They made him some money.
And for the record, last year he did play. He had 9 carries for 48 yards.
Not great.
No, not great at all.
No, like I said, I think that they have to establish a run, like you said, Chris, because that is a big part of that offense. And we saw me and Mike broke down the plays at the end. What was it, Mike? 51% passing and like 49% run, being as balanced as they possibly can be. That's what Stoops was looking for when he got into Grand. He actually has it now, it seems like, with the play calls. Again, this offense does not move. And if you watch St. Louis, because obviously that's sort of what the offense is like. LA Rams. They run a lot of under center, and they also have a lot of they also throw the ball, but I think they throw the ball more than they run the ball when it's all said and done. But it all comes down to a really good running back.
Yeah, Kentucky was really balanced. 30 runs, 29 passes.
There you go.
It's ULM.
So there you go. That's what Stoops was wanting when he got Eddie Grant. Because remember when he came in, he at Cincinnati, he was a 49, 51% type person with run to pass, and that's what he was looking for. And it turned out to be 90% run and 10% pass, right? So totally opposite of what you want, but you're looking for balance. And
I'm mad.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. So who do we got? Who do we got for offensive, defensive MVPs? Mike, start us off with offensive MVPs.
Offense, I'm going to go with Epps. Actually, I was thinking about Ali.
Whoa.
We're going to need another receiver to step up, because they're going to start double teaming Robinson. So I'm going to go with Epps. I think Epps has a 2 touchdown game.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm feeling good about him. And then defensively, I'm going to go with McCall, because I think the Missouri's stopping that run.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going Wandale Robinson, because I went there last week. I was right. He was the best one out there. He scored the first touchdown. I will say that. Like, I don't mean to show off there, but I did call the first touchdown. I was right with him. And I mean, it wasn't that much of a stretch. I mean, the guys came in already.
So I'll go back to Pascal then, because I was right.
Yeah, there you go. Defensively, again, I think, you got to be able to stop the run, man. It's going to be Pascal. I agree with Mike on that.
I'm going to go Wandale Robinson. I think, like, it's an easy call. I went C-Rod last game. He had a good game, but. Yeah, I'm going to go Wandale. I think he's just going to give defenses fits all year, because he's so damn fast. And he's physical. Like, you can't just jam him at the line like down. That. What'd you say?
So he's a hoss to take down. Like, they struggled to tackle him last week.
Well, he has such a low center of gravity.
Like, good luck.
I don't need it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I go Wandale offensive MVP, and I'll go DeAndre Square defensive MVP. I think he's going to have to be super active and get about 15 tackles.
Oh, he's gonna have to. He has to.
Yeah.
So I mean, he has to step up. That is the truth. I mean, he's got to meet the running back in the hole.
Yep.
And I mean, he looked pretty decent last week. I mean, I thought he was fine last week.
Yeah, so. Man, he was playing all over the place, and he was always in the right position.
And that's where you want him to be at. I mean, it's a guy that's watched his former teammates, you know, move to the league or be very stand out, and that's what he needs to be.
This is his year.
This is his year.
He started out on a good note.
And that's exactly. So, again, we're talking about a shitty opponent. So, this is kind of the week where we actually see what Kentucky's got. And you know, what do you all think on scores?
Mike?
On scores? You're going to think I'm crazy on this one, but I'm going to go 35-7.
Jeez,
that's hey. 35-7. That'd be a boring ass game. But that's okay. Well, yeah, Chris.
Well, I'm right. You guys can take me later.
I'm gonna go 38-21, Cats.
That's a good score. I like that.
That is a solid score. Well, I'm going to go with Vegas on this one because obviously Kentucky was 3. They've moved up to 4.5, I think, now. That's probably where it's going to be at. Probably game time will be 4. So I will say that the game will probably be Kentucky by 14. I will say
30. Spread's at 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5.
And yeah. I think it's down to 4.5. It's 4.5 when I last time I looked, at least on what I look at.
Right now.
What now? You're looking at it right now? 5.5 already? Yeah.
That's what I got. We got that, Nick.
You're on because I was looking at it earlier today. Or maybe it was yesterday, but it was at 4.5. So it's up to 5.5.
Yep.
Well, regardless, I think Kentucky's going to be – they're going to win about 14, probably like 34 to 20, something like that, in that kind of range. I definitely think Kentucky circled this game back when they lost last year. They have a bone to pick with them, per se. And I think they're going to be ready to come. I think they're going to come out the gate, really fired up.
Yeah,
I'm still going to be worried because it's
seen,
you know, these kind of games blow up in our faces. But man, again, here comes the Kentucky fan in me saying, "Did you see last week? Because shit, it looked good.
It looked good. Yeah. I mean, it looked really good, and you know." You know, you're thinking, everyone always hopes to get Joe Burrow's type of guy, you know? I mean, it worked for LSU, and they haven't been the same since him. But I mean, you know, you're looking for – every time you see a transfer come in, you're like, man, could this be Joe Burrow's? And my God, the way he was throwing it last week, I'm like, he's not Joe Burrow's, obviously, but God, it looked good.
That with this new offense and everybody being in a different system – Levis being a first-year SEC quarterback, first-year starter, really, there's going to be a game where they just don't click. And you just hope it's not an SEC game. You hope it's against East Tennessee State and they're able to win by a few touchdowns against a team they should blow out. fingers crossed.
Now, let me ask you all, going kind of digging in deeper there, what if we lose this game, is the season ruined in your all's eyes? And I know it's only week. I know it's only week 2. That is definitely a overreaction. But is it?
It's not ruined yet, but it could be. Does that make sense? Like, if it's going to be a ruined season, it starts with this game.
You definitely have to shift your expectations from a potential 10-win season to something.
Yeah.
What would look more realistic as an 8-win season, which sucks because that would be a disappointment, I think.
Well, I said this over the summertime. I said this is the most important game. This game right here. We win this game, you go from, like Chris says, 8, and then you're looking at 9 or 10. Because if you were to get, especially looking at the way LSU looked for week 1, you're looking, man, you could really get to 10. You know, you feel really good and against that. I mean, even Florida didn't look that great. And I honestly, this is just me, but I mean, Georgia defensively looked fine. They haven't scored an offensive touchdown yet. So,
yeah,
how great did they really look?
And their JT Daniels has a very interesting injury. They just lost their second offensive guard, I believe.
2 starting offensive
guards are gone for the year. JT Daniels, who's supposed to be like their savior at quarterback, didn't look great at all. Hasn't looked great at all since he's been starting the last year and a half.
That's the thing. Is like when you get a season like this and you have, you know, I think Georgia's above everyone in the East. Then you have like Florida, Kentucky, and really you put Florida probably above Kentucky and Missouri, but those three right there, you know, kind of jockeying for that second spot. And you see Georgia's not the same as they've been the past few years, especially offensively. Defensively, they're fine. But I mean, this is a year where if we beat Missouri, we could be that team that challenges Georgia, like we did in 2018.
I didn't see anything intimidating about Florida. I watched that whole game, and their quarterbacks were exactly what I thought they were going to be. And that not great. Kyle Trask.
So you feel good against you? Like I've said this over and over again with Kentucky football and contending in the East and competing with teams like Georgia, who gets, you know, their pickings of 5-star guys. Kentucky needs to get to a point where they're making that game matter. They're making that game matter.
They need to win their fair share of those games. Like, it can't be this thing where we go 5 years without beating Florida again. No, it's got to be we're splitting the series with Florida. or beating them multiple years in a row.
If Kentucky makes that Georgia game every year, make it for the East or whatever, one of the years, Georgia's going to have a down year, or Kentucky's going to eventually get better than them and be able or match them talent-wise and be able to beat them.
Yep.
And it, you just got to continue to make that game matter. Me, if they lose this game, it's man, because then you don't feel good against Florida's, and then all of a sudden you got to worry about Missouri now is over top of you. If that makes any sense, you know, they got a game on you.
It's a big optics thing. It's a big optics thing. I mean, not only for the season, but for
fans,
recruiting, and yeah. for fans. Yeah,
I mean, if you can boast being second in the SEC East every year, people will be like, that's attractive to recruits.
Well, yes. Since I'm the gatekeeper of Kentucky football, I will say that if they lose to Missouri, you'll see a lot of these fans that are fans now won't be fans then. I'm just going to tell you that I've seen Kentucky football plenty enough, and I know you guys have too, where it's as soon as they lose, it's we're getting ready for basketball.
Yeah, and that's
so when you beat Missouri and you go, you know, you beat Missouri and then you go and beat the shit out of Chattanooga and you're going into South Carolina, that game matters. You beat South Carolina, then all of a sudden that LSU and that Florida game are going to be sold out and people are going to be excited for it.
Yep. Yeah. You got to build momentum every single week.
Absolutely.
Because I will tell you, the year is
going to be absolute goldmine for recruiting, especially if we get the win, because that atmosphere is going to be awesome.
It's going to be a lot of big visitors coming in, too.
If we're going in 5-0, it'll be a night game. Oh, that game's going to be awesome.
Like 2019 is the best example of that. So Florida comes into town, awesome atmosphere. Awesome, you know, Sawyer starting all stuff. We're winning. Looks like we're gonna beat them, and then they lose the game. And I don't think they sold out a game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And that's the way Kentucky football runs sometimes.
Kentucky football fans are like an abused dog.
No, yeah, they're used to seeing that.
Yeah.
Especially their bad losses too. That's the one thing that you can't have. Can't let you have a 2-touchdown lead and you give it up in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's almost laughing. You know, not only losing the game but like making your fans be punished.
Yeah.
Badly. So, this is going to be. I mean, really excited for this game. This is something that this team needs to have. I mean, they need to have a packed crowd. They need this game.
Yeah, Kentucky fans got to show up.
Yeah.
The coaching staff, the administration, they put a good product out on the field. Kentucky fans need to show up.
Yeah, and I get it. There's stuff going on people don't like, but, you know, show up to the game if you can.
Yeah. Chris, are you going to show up?
I live in a different state.
So. I'm just
if Chris showed up, he'd be free.
Yeah. What's your excuse now?
So,
yeah.
Let's bring my next point. You know, we do this every year for around 9/11 time, and we love our country, and we will, I will tell you that those people that sacrificed that day, we won't forget on this show. That as far as my podcast, so as long as I run it, we won't ever forget about 9/11 and the sacrifices that were made since and during 9/11. And obviously what's happened recently here pisses us all off, but we won't forget about that day. And it's 20 years since then. It's unbelievable. It's been 20 years. Can you all believe that?
Years. Jesus.
20 years since that's happened. And yeah, this show won't ever forget about that day and everything that's happened since then. And Chris, I do appreciate the service, man.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Like always. You know, this is Heroes Weekend for all those guys, and it's great that Kentucky's doing this for them, and hopefully, you know, it's a good game for everyone involved. You know,
yeah. That's I was in a meeting today, and people were kind of talking about that. It's defined, especially some of the older people who are, you know, getting ready to retire from the military. They're 20 plus years. The careers for so many people and define the lives, especially for those who were born, you know, before 9/11, and you know, we were in grade school, so we'll never forget that feeling and what those scenes and that kind of stuff. It's
defined our generation.
It's what we've known. We've been at war So it'll be interesting to see what this country looks like and what the military looks like going forward, not in wartime.
Yes. But again, I will never forget the way that day made me feel, and watching police and firefighters run into burning buildings that were collapsing for, they didn't know any of those people, most probably complete strangers for them, and helping them get out. And a lot of them perished. So, and as well as the people inside the buildings. And that's, you know, something I'll never forget, watching people jump from the building.
Upset. Yeah.
Yes. Tor. So,
thank you to all our listeners, for any of you who are first responders or current former military. Thank you for what you do and what you've done.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll sign off. I hate Missouri now. After last year. So
up there with Florida for me all of a sudden.
They're on the axis of evil for sure.
Yeah.
Well, did you say they're horrible people, Chris? What did you say?
That they're on the axis of evil.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, no, Missouri's trash. I cannot wait to see us beat the shit out of them so I can have a personal vendetta against someone on Twitter that will hear from me as soon as that game's over. So I promise you.
Devastated. More so than the players.
What now?
I said, if we don't win this weekend, you're going to be devastated more so than the players.
Yeah. I hope that guy forgets. That's all I'll say.
So long.
I hope that guy forgets. I hope that guy, I got mine bookmarked, so I know to go right to that asshole. So,
arm stuff like midnight Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Once I see that, dude, he said, I'd bet my whole house on it. Oh, dude. It's going to be. Oh, it's on. That's all I'm going to say. It is on that they think that. That since they're five, they've lost five or six of us, but all of a sudden now they own Kentucky. I don't get it, but okay. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. So, all right, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.